on the man who will miss the rapture are the one that will miss the rapture. That's what the Lord says. One shall be left. I'm going to preach about that one that's going to be left. If you will, in Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 37, Jesus describes the day of the great revelation when he'll come. And he describes the time that'll be on earth. And he says in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And if I know anything about what went on back there, we're seeing a repeat of the days of Noah right now. Now, there's things that went on now that went on in the days of Noah. And the Bible said, when you see this, you'll know. Now, listen to what he said, verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Brother, that's all you've got. You've got to look around today. You've never seen so much of that in your life. We're all eating too much. Amen. And eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and until the day that Noah went in the ark. Folks don't say nothing about it anymore. You see, this altar that's called a marriage altar, it's not sacred anymore. Even the altar where people kneel to get right with God. I'm afraid we've desecrated the precious altar of God. And the Bible says, they knew not. Now notice verse 39. Until the flood came. Now that's the sad part of it. I mean, they thought they heard, but they didn't. And they heard not. They didn't know it. And he came, and they were taken away, and they knew it not. You know, there's people right here, they go down this curve right outside, and says, Jesus is coming. They look at it, but they don't believe it. They don't believe it. And I mean, when he comes, they'll say, I didn't know he's coming. I didn't know it's coming. Well, bless God, I'm glad I know he's coming. Amen, I'm prepared. Look at what the Bible said, if you will. The Bible said, you not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. In other words, he said, you better keep your eyes open. You better not slumber sleep to this way, for he's coming. He's coming. I believe that ought to be the message, brother, right now and the rest of the year, that he's coming and that men should prepare for his coming. Would you be seated over the house and bow your head, Father? I want to thank you, Lord God, for the singing tonight. Oh, when I think about, Lord, it's finished. I'm glad he didn't leave one thing unfinished. I'm glad upon Calvary, blessed be the name of the Lord. The veil was rent from top to bottom. I'm glad the new and living way was opened up, that poor, dejected, sinful man could come by the way of the blood and be saved and go to heaven. I thank you that on that cross, praise God for the blessings of redemption for those that will call upon his name. And I thank you for every blessing. Thank you for the song tonight about the house being full and the fields empty. Lord, it doesn't seem that people care anymore about the eternal soul of man. And when we think about it, God, tonight all over this country, there are people that are lost, mothers and dads and sons and daughters, that'll spend an endless eternity crying for water, begging for relief where there'll be no relief. And so tonight, as we come to speak, I pray for the holy anointing oil of God. May I have the fresh oil. May I have the touch of heaven. May this be an unusual service. Father, I pray that your name will be glorified, and Jesus will be lifted up, and the Holy Ghost will have his right away, and will praise you, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way and give me your undivided attention. If you've ever listened to a sermon, bless your heart, I want you to listen now. Somebody said, preacher, what are you going to preach about? The man or the one that's going to miss the rapture. You say, preacher, I don't believe that coming of the Lord. A lot of people have said that, but that's not going to hinder his return. Just because people don't believe it, brother, that doesn't mean he's not coming back. They didn't believe the flood was coming, but it came just the same. They laughed and they ate and they mocked and they scoffed, but the Bible said the flood came. But when you go to preaching about the man that's going to be left, let me say that that man's lost. There's only two kinds of people tonight, the saved and the lost. That saved one's going up, praise God, to
Somebody said, how do you know?
I know that the saved will go home to be with Jesus, but the lost will be left here at the rapture. And the next thing to happen is the rapture. I'm glad for that phone. I'll be in the rapture. I've already, brother, made preparations. I'm glad. When the trumpet sounds, I'll be in the rapture. And what a blessing it is to know that you can have that assurance that when he comes, you're ready, that you're in the Lord, that you're saved. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us about what's going to happen in the rapture. Somebody said, what will happen? Three things. The Lord himself shall descend. I'm glad he's coming. Did you hear what I said? He's coming back again. The same Jesus which is to go away shall so come in like manner. He's coming again. The Prince of Glory will step off of that throne one morning. Sound the trumpet, brother, and he's coming back again. The second thing's going to happen in the rapture. It's going to happen not in the air, but in the graveyard. There's some saints sleeping out there, and they're going to hear his voice. And the Bible said corruption is going to put on incorruption. Did you take a little mother up yonder and turn away from an old cold grave? Walk back to your car, and did you whisper, Mama, I'll see you in that morning of the rapture? Did you take that little baby? I found it to an old clay cemetery. I tell you, lay that little baby down, and he tell you something one morning. That little old body's going to be changed, and they that are in the Lord are going to rise to meet Jesus Christ. Brother, it's going to be a wonderful time. The Arlington told me in Nashville, he said, amazed. I didn't know what it was. I rejoiced in the rapture until I took the only boy I had, laid him in an old clay hill up in West Virginia, and he said, I walked away and said, the Holy Ghost said, there'll be a meeting in the air one of these mornings. The dead in Christ, they're going to come out of there. Not only is Jesus coming back, my friend, not only will there be a descent from heaven and the dead in Christ, but thirdly, the we that are alive and remain shall be changed. I'll drop this robe of flesh to rise to meet the election prize. And you talked about a time, mister. It's going to be a time. Now, before I give you the message, let me give you this. There's two great men in the Bible. They're typical of the rapture. One of them's name was Enoch. And the Bible said he was not, for God took him. After walking with God for 300 years, God said, Enoch, get closer to my house. That it is to your house. I want you to come and go home with me. And I'm glad that he went home with the Lord. One of these days, I'm going to preach my last sermon. I'm going to pray my last prayer, Mike. And thank God I'm going home. The Bible says, we are alive. And so Enoch is a type of the rapture. And then there's a man called Elijah. And I've always loved to preach about Elijah. The old Tishbite. I mean, he'd stand up in a palace and tell Jezebel, you're going to hell if you don't repent. Elijah was one that could pray the fire down from heaven. But one day he took a little bald-headed preacher and they crossed the river Jordan. And when he got on the other side, they were talking. And Elisha said to Elijah, I'd like to have something you've got. And Elijah probably looked and said, what is it, son? He said, I'd like to have a double portion of the same spirit that you have. Elijah looked down at Elisha and said, son, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me, he said, the chariots are coming. And bless God, I'm going to get on board. And I'm going to leave out. The chariots are coming. He's a type. The Bible said a chariot of fire and horses of fire and a whirlwind swooped down and picked up old Elijah. And did you know they got a committee the next day and went looking for him, but they couldn't find him. Brother, when God comes, let me tell you something. They may look, but we'll not be found. We'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing. But Jesus said, two will be in the bed, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two will be in the mill, one will be taken, and the other shall be left. I used to pastor a mill church. And I used to go to that mill at night, and I'd walk through that old mill. Those rooms are flopping. And I'd say to my saints, children, the Bible said two will be in the mill, one will be taken, and the other will be left. I said, this machine won't have anybody behind it. Bless God, if a Christian is standing there, I'm glad, my friend. The Bible said one shall be taken. And I want you to notice what it says. It said the other be left. And I want to speak to you tonight on the man
man, or the woman, or the boy or girl that's going to be left. You say, what's going to happen? They're going to be tormented. They think they're having a hard time now. And the Bible said that sinner is having a hard time. The way of the transgressor is hard. I want to tell you, mister, it's not easy to live a wicked life. It's a hard life to live. It may be hard to live for the Lord, but it's the sweetest thing. Bless God, this side of eternity. And listen, regardless of the cost that it'll cost you to serve God and live for God, it's a bargain when you think about what's on the other side for God's children. Oh, what a blessing that is to know what God has for them. Now you say, preacher, they'll be tormented. The man that's going to miss the rapture, he's going to be a tormented one. The one that Jesus said is going to be left, he'll be tormented and he'll be awful because there'll be no place to hide. Now, I'm glad I found a hiding place. I'm glad I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest to sail my wild seas no more. I'm glad he's my shelter. He's my butler. Thank God he's my shield. And I found the hiding place. But the man that's going to be left will not have a hiding place. But if you've got your pencil tonight, I'll use the letter S. And I'm going to take this man that's going to be left and show you how he's going to be tormented. Oh, there won't be any peace. Listen, there'll not be any. You say, preacher, I'm not going to get saved. You'd better listen to this sermon tonight, because I'm going to tell you that after Jesus comes, you're going to be a tormented soul. You're going to be a tormented individual. You say, how? Number one, because there will be the state of shock. This world's going to be left in. It'll be a horror chamber. The state of shock. Can you imagine the day after the rapture? Hell now, multitudes be saved. There won't be a hymn to be sung. There the Holy Ghost will be gone. Oh, preacher, they used to preach to you. My friend, you go to his house, and he'll not be there. You'll see a little mother wringing her hands, and you walk up to her, and you'll say, Mother, what's wrong? And she'll say, I'll tell you, my little baby left sometime last night. I looked at the crib this morning. The covers were there. The little dress was there. But that little baby was called up to be the Lord. You'll go on down the street to the cemetery. You'll see men standing there looking in the graves, weeping and saying, my Lord, wonder what happened. I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Ghost, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is going to get a hold of that old saint. And praise God, the Bible said, they're going to be raised up out of that grave. That old baby pounder will not hold the body down. I'm glad if you're saved, mister. It'll not hold your body down. You say, preacher, you believe it'll be a state of shock. Brother, I believe it'll be a state of shock. I believe all over this world there'll be pandemonium. I believe that people will go and have nerve. You talk about people getting nervous, and you talk about nervous disorders, and you talk about people having nervous breakdowns. Can you remember, can you recall what I said about the state of shock? Oh, a state of shock. It's an awful way to live. And after the rapture, when they announce multitudes missing, there will be a state of shock and emergency all over this world. And men and women shall run to and fro in a state of shock and wring their hands and scream, my God, he's gone. I missed it. I want to tell you something, mister. It'll be a terrible time. There'll be torment, first of all, by a state of shock. The second torment for that man will be the spirit of death reign. Now, you like the spirit of death, but I don't. I'm not a graveyard Christian. I like the resurrection and the life. Woo! Praise God. And the Lamb forever. I don't like dead sin. I don't like dead preaching. I like, brother, something's got some life to it. And brother, some of these Baptist churches are so dead, they need to be taken out here and buried. Tonight, as a little boy, when something died, we buried that thing. And I never did like to be around that. I've heard people say, aren't they beautiful? No, not to me. When death, that pale horse, and if you read in the scriptures, the Bible says in Revelation 6, and verse 8, there'll come a pale horse, and in the saddle will be death and hell, and the sword, he's going to kill one fourth of all the people. I want to tell you, when death reigns, it'll be a horrible time. That's the wrath of God. And Daniel said, they weep. And that poor old man that liked at God and scoffed at the Bible and came to church and misses the rapture, brother, will be in the state of death and a spirit of death. Oh, you say, preacher, it's the spirit of death. It'll be a spirit all because the spirit of life will be gone. Thessalonians chapter 2 says that his spirit, the spirit of God, will be removed and taken away. Would you want to be around here when there's no spirit of life? I'm glad, mister, I know him and I know the spirit of life. But what a terrible thing. I have an undertaker friend up in Ellijay, Georgia. I was up to see him here a while back and I asked him a few questions. But I remember several years ago, we went there on Christmas Day. That's the way we celebrate Christmas that day. We went to the undertaker's. That's a bad place to go. But we went down there and I like him. He's a friend. And we went in, and I got to talking to him. I said, now, Billy, I want to ask you a question. How in the world do you live in this funeral home? He lives there, he eats there, he sleeps there. His children play there. He said, Brother Mays, you'll never get used to it. Oh, he said, there's something about death and the spirit of death. When you bring a body in here, you never get used to it. But I want to tell you, the man that misses that rapture, he's going to be under the spirit of death and of the wrath of God. And it'll be an awful time of the spirit of death upon men. You say, preacher, should bad. I said to Billy several years ago, I said, who you got in yonder? He said, I got a man. I went into there, looked at him. They had him embalmed. They had him looking good. I thought, as far as human hands could prepare a man, I said, Billy, you did a good job on that man. He said, let me tell you something. That man's done for. He can't do a thing. I said, you're wrong, son. There's two things that dead man can do. He said, Mace Jackson, when I pump the blood out of him and put that embalming fluid in him, there's nothing he can do. I said, you're wrong. There's two things that a dead man can do. You say, what are they? I said, but Billy, first they hear the voice of God. They can't hear your voice. But I'm glad there's coming a voice one day out of heaven. And the dead can hear his voice. Isn't it good that you'll be able to hear his voice? The dead shall hear his voice. He said, what's the second thing that a dead man can do? And I said, Billy, the second thing, the dead can feel the touch of God. A dead man can't feel your touch. You hear me? You can go up there to that casket of your daddy and touch him and he'll not feel you. You can go there to that casket of that mother and you can touch her, but she can't feel you. But if Jesus walks up there, whoo, bless God, reached over and touched her. I'm glad he'd say, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, and she'd get up out of that casket. And as sure as you're in this house, and my name's Brother Mays, I stood in that funeral home. I said, Billy, I wouldn't live here for all the money there is in Ellijay, Georgia. I said, I just can't stand the spirit of death. I said, around here, everything's dying. I said, for me, I'm going to land where nothing dies. You say, what do you mean? Down here, every fire dies. Down here, every beast dies. Every tree dies. Every human dies. Did you know I'm going to a place where the roses never fade and nothing ever dies? Death will be a stranger in that city. The spirit of death will not be there. But I want to tell you something, the man that this is the right, he'll be in a state of shock. Number two, he'll be tormented by the spirit of death. Number three, he'll be tormented by the smell of blood. And not just the blood of a beast or the blood of a man, but the blood of a dead man. My Bible said when those trumpets start to blow, you listen to me, and those trumpets begin to blow there in the middle of that tribulation. And the scripture says one third of the rivers and one third of the streams and one third of the oceans is going to turn to the blood of a dead man. Oh, you say, what's so horrible about that? Did you ever smell the blood of a dead man? Have you ever been close to the, you know why? You know what they do? You say, preacher, what do they do? You know what they do when a man dies? As quick as they can, they embalm him. I've heard people say, I don't want to be embalmed. Well, listen to what the book says. The Bible tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood. But when you die, the first thing that begins to corrupt is the blood. And if you don't get blood out of that body, it'll start to give off an odor. And there's nothing so nauseating as the smell of a man that hadn't been embalmed after a couple of 3 days. I've tried to preach funerals, Brother Virgil, over the body of a man that hadn't been embalmed. And that blood in that body, my friend, it's a smell, it's horrible. And you say, Brother Mays, that man, that girl that's here tonight, that boy that that's going to be left. Let me tell you something. They'll be tormented by the smell of blood, and it'll be the blood of dead men. You say, preacher, will it be bad? My Bible says, and that'll be an awful time. You think about walking over to the spigot at the house and cutting it on to get a drink of water. Nothing as refreshing as a good cold glass of water. Oh, cold water. And I tell you, when you open up that spigot and blood of a dead man comes out, and it almost knocks you down. You go in to take a bath, and you open up the faucet in the bathtub, and the horrible blood of dead men come out. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, did you know Jesus said, flesh and blood shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven? That blood's not going there. When Jesus appeared in that upper room, he said, feel me. A ghost. He said, I'm not a ghost. I've got flesh and bone. The blood wasn't there. You say, where is the blood? The blood now is under in heaven. Praise God. The precious blood of Jesus. That's the only blood that wasn't corrupted. But you think about it. My friend, as sure as you're in this house, after the rapture comes, there will be the state of shock for that tormented man. There will be the spirit of death that shall horrify him. There will be the smell of blood. The blood of dead men. Number four. Brother, this is terrible to me. There'll be sores that'll break out over them, and there'll be a mixture between two things, leprosy and boils. Have you ever seen leprosy? Have you ever looked at a man covered with boils? My Bible says in Revelation 16 and verse 2, and grievous sores will break out on men because of the heat. The heat of the sun is going to be so cold until men shall break out, as Job broke out with sores from the crown of his head to the tip of his toes. The man that misses that rapture is going to be tormented with sores like he's never seen, and there'll be no cure, and there'll be no remedy, and men are going to blaspheme. The Bible said they repented not. They're not going to repent. It looks like during that tribulation that when a man breaks out with sores and he begins to cough and scratch, and that pain gets deeper and deeper, and he can't find any relief, it looks like he'd get down on his knees and pray, God, be merciful to me and save me. But let me tell you something. If a man won't repent under the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he'll not repent, brother. During that time, you know what the book says he'll do? They repented not, these men, but blasphemed God. They'll spit in God's face. They'll accuse God. And the wrath of God is going to be horrible during the time of the sores that'll break out on them. I'm going to church, Lord willing, again this year up in Durham, North Carolina. And when I go to that church, I always enjoy it. And I have a first cousin that has a PhD. Now, if you know what a PhD is, named Brother James Balsam. I led him to God when he was a 12-year-old boy. I was up preaching one night, and James came down, knelt on his knees, and got saved. Went on, went to school, went to university, and went on up north, and finally got his PhD. Last time I talked to him in the church, he walked down there in Fellowship Baptist Church in Durham, North Carolina. And I leaned over and I said, hello, Doc, how you doing? He said, fine. Don't call me Doc, call me James. I said, James, how you doing? He said, fine. I said, they tell me you're teaching at Wake Forest and Carolina both. He said, that's right. I said, what are you teaching? He said, science. I said, James, will you tell me the truth? He said, yes, sir, Brother Mays. If you ask me, I'll tell you. I said, you teach that all that science. I said, did you know that the Bible says that one day the sun will be so close to men and so close to the earth until great sores will break out and men will be tormented by the heat of the sun? Do you believe that? And then I asked him another question. I said, bless God, chapter 10. It said an angel's going to put his foot in the sun and stand with one foot in the sun and one foot on the land. I said, James, they don't want me to call you a doctor, but I said, fine, tell me something. Do you believe that? And tears came in his eyes. And James Balsam looked at me and he said, I believe what the Bible says. Well, I said, well, whether you believe it or whether science teaches it, it wouldn't make any difference to me. I believe, brother, that men are going to break out with sores. And you say, preacher, will it be awful? Let me give you one description before I leave this scene. That man that's going to miss the rapture is going to pull his tongue out. And the Bible said he's going to gnaw the tongue, and I see the blood run down his chin, and he gnaws that tongue, and those old sores getting worse and worse and worse. Somebody said, preacher, what about the man that's going to be left? He's going to be tormented by sores. But here's something else. He's going to be tormented by scorpions like he's never seen before. You say, I don't believe it. All you folks that believe this old occultism and all you folks that believe in these demons and believe in worshiping the devil across America that hear this tape, I want to tell you something. Brother, listen. The Bible says that one angel falls and has the key to the bottomless pit, and he opens up the bottomless pit, and 200 million demons. Are you listening? 200 million demons are going to come out of that pit. Listen to what the book says. They're coming out to torment me in 5.5 months. Think about it. 5.5 months they're going to be tormented by the scorpions that are coming out of that pit. Now, he said they'll have bodies like horses. Now, I want you to see this thing, brother. You talk about all these old weird, and I don't know what E.T. is. What in the world is E.T.? I hear everybody talking about E.T. and some old man up here that shoot something at. But I don't know what it is, but they're always talking about this E.T. business, and they're talking about Pac-Man. I forgot what they even call it. But Pac-Man, and they're talking about praying to the dead, and they're talking about witchcraft, and they're talking about demons. I was in a church up in Charlotte, North Carolina. This man's not a fool. This man's not stupid. He's got one of the largest churches in North Carolina. This man's got arthritis so bad. He said, "Mae, the reason I called you, where are you going to meet? And I want you to come to my church, and I want to show you something." He said, "My boy's 28 years old. But he won't stay in that room. But I want you to go back in that technician room. I'm going to show you a picture that we made here in the church in my office of a girl that was possessed with demons. I'm going to let you hear those demons cry out of her throat." He said, "Mr. Jackson, you're not going to believe what you hear and what you see." But he said, "It's a little picture of how demons can take over the body." He said, "It's a little picture of what's going to happen during the tribulation when there'll be bodies like horses." And listen, you long-haired men, they'll have hair like women. The Bible said they'll have teeth like lions, and they'll have tails like scorpions, and in the end of each tail of that scorpion is a stinger, and he'll sting men unto death, and it'll be a horrible, terrible, awful time. For 5.5 months they'll pray to die, but death will be on a holiday, and they'll say, "Where's death?" And death will say, "I'm gone." And every time they get out here on the road, a stone mountain, let's see, they'll look down the road and they'll see those horrible horses with hair like women, and they'll see teeth like lions, they'll see tails like scorpions, and they'll run to find a place to get away. And these demons and these awful locusts, they call, and scorpions, brother, will sting unto death, but they won't be able to die. It'd be a relief if when they were stung, if they could die. But the Bible says they can't die. The 5.5 months they'll be tormented. Oh, you say, "Brother, makes your time won't you to read your Bible and find out what's going to happen to that man that's left." Now, let me tell you what I saw of it, Brother Jack Hudson. Me and Brother Charles Worley and his son-in-law, young preacher, was in that technician room, and they cut that film on her. And he showed the office picture of her on my life now. Back there next, he said, "Preacher, I wouldn't let, but it's just preacher," said, "I won't let other people see it." Said, "It's so horrible, I can't believe it." And said, "Mays, if you could have smelled when we catch those demons out, you wouldn't believe it." And I said, I know that. I can't say what I believe. And I stood there, and his voice said, "Now, Brother Mays, I'm going to cut this thing on. And if it gets messed up, you come out. I can't stay in here. I'll cut it on and stay a couple of times and let preachers see it." He said, "Brother Mays, I can't sleep at night. I wake up and I hear those demons screaming, those demons crying." And did you know when Jack Hudson and his associate pastor and his wife stood over that young girl and said, "I'm speaking to you, Mr. Demon, come out of that girl." She looked up and I saw her fingers go all the way back, all the way and touch the back of her hand. I saw her toes come back and touch the back of her feet, legs. I saw her go into the awfulest twist of anybody I've ever seen. And Jack said, "What's your name, demons?" And they started talking to him. You know what Jack said? He said, "I want to ask you something. Do you know who I am?" And that demon said, "Yes, I know who you are. And I know your friends at the PTL Club down in Charlotte." And old Jack Hudson said, "I want to inform you, devil, that they're not my friends. Praise God. I don't claim that PTL bunch." He said, "I want you to know that, devil." And then that demon, and I never heard it. I never heard such in my life. And as Jack Hudson stood there, he said, "I want to tell you something, demon. You were defeated at Calvary." And boy, that was a time I like to shout it. Oh! you say, preacher, what made you nearly shout in that church there in Charlotte, that Baptist church? You know what made me nearly shout? When Jack Hudson said to that demon, you were defeated at Calvary. Did you know that? That demon screamed and said, I ought to know it. I was there at Calvary and saw the whole bloody mess. And oh, I said, oh God, the power of demons. And I want to tell you, that man that's going to be left behind is going to run down the road and see this horde and this group and this multitude of demon spirits flying at him, coming to sting him unto death. And you say, Brother Mace, it's going to be a horrible time. It's going to be a miserable time. The man that's not ready, the man that misses the rapture, the man that doesn't go up when the trumpet sounds. But I've got two other things I want you to see. Say, preacher, what's going to happen to him? Where will he go? Oh, he'll be tormented with scorpions, but he'll be tormented by Satan, Superman. The world's been looking for one of these deceivers, miracle workers. Boy, he's coming on the scene. You put her down. Revelation 13 said, John said, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea and the horns. You read it when you get home. He saw that beast coming up out of the sea. And that beast that comes up out of the sea, it's the Antichrist. He'll be Satan incarnate. And let me give you this. Brother Jack asked that girl up in Charlotte when she was there. He said, if you ever seen the demon in one of those cult meetings? She said, I've seen plenty of demons. He said, I want to ask you another question. He said, have you ever seen the devil? And here's what she said. She said, Mr. Hudson, I saw him one time. Was giving some kind of an occult praise to the devil. And she said, I saw the devil run up. And Jack Hudson said, what did he look like? She said, he's the most handsome man I've ever seen. Boy, I said, what? I heard her say it. She said, he's the most handsome man I've ever seen. I thought about over in Corinthians chapter 11, where it says that he transforms himself into an angel of light. And that girl saw the most beautiful, handsome man that she had ever seen. But she didn't stop there. Listen to what she said. And as I looked at the devil and Satan, she said, he turned into an animal. Oh, his face broke out with the skin and the hair of an animal. And he ran away. And I sat there and I said, Charles, and old Charles Worley, pastor over in Providence Road Baptist Church in Maiden, North Carolina, said, don't talk to me. He said, I'm just glad I'm ready when the Lord comes. I'm going to leave out of here. I'll not be left to go through the horror and the misery. Now you say, preacher, Satan himself, the Antichrist, is going to rule and reign. Let me give you a couple of things. The Bible said he'll receive many. People have been wanting fire down from heaven, he'll pull it out. Well, listen, they're going to worship that. He's going to have a robot. Robot. Now, you know what's going to happen? He'll make him a man, and that man will have hands, and that man will have feet, and that man will have eyes, and that image will look just like a man. Now, here's where the miracle of satanic power takes place. That Antichrist, through the false prophet, will impart life to that thing. It'll come alive. Amen. Don't you believe that'd be horrible? To see a robot come alive like a man, and he'll say, fall down and worship the Antichrist. And the Bible said, all of those that do not fall down and worship that Antichrist, the Antichrist will have a branding on him. And you know what it's going to be? The number 666. And he's going to say to you, you fall down and worship the image, or I'll put a brand on you. And he'll say, I will not do that. But all of those that refuse, my friend, will be put to death. And every man that's going to have that brand in his right hand or his forehead, the Bible teaches it's the unpardonable sin. It'll be a time, in that tribulation, when that man that's going to be left, when he takes that brand in the forehead, when he takes that brand in his right hand, listen to me, he'll be committing the unpardonable sin. I want to show you about this man, he won't do it. Suppose he wouldn't do it. Let's suppose you was left behind, you wouldn't take that brand. You went down and get some milk, you was hungry, and some bread. You said, mister, I got to have some bread. I'm hungry. I got to have some milk. I'm hungry. And the man would say, hold up your right hand. Or let me see closely the invisible 666. And you'd say, mister, I don't have that brand. It's not in my hand. It's not on my forehead. It's not there. It's not there. You'd say, all right, you can't have milk and you can't have bread. The Bible said they can't buy nor sell unless they have the mark of the beast. And what an awful thing thing it's going to be. Listen to me. Say, you really got shaking those sores. You went to the doctor. You said, I can't find a relief. Would you give me stuff for these sores? That doctor said, stick up that hand. Let me see. And before you don't have the mark of the beast, I can't help you. Oh, you talk about torment. It'll be a tormenting time. Now, you be here Sunday afternoon, because I'm going to give you some things about the Sabbath of 83. We were just in the Holy Land a couple of months ago. And if you go to the Holy Land, you'll see that on every commercial vehicle in Jerusalem, every taxi, every truck, every bus in Jerusalem that has been licensed to work out of Jerusalem or in Jerusalem, I have a license tag twice as big, well, about this big, on the front of every vehicle. And there's only three letters on it. It said 666. And you can ask any Arab, any Jew over there, why do they have that license tag on the front of that vehicle? And so about 3 years ago when I was over there, I said, I'm going down to the commercial department, transportation department, I'm going to find out. I finally got through with a friend of mine down there, and they called the head man. He walked out and he said, can I help you, sir? I said, yes, you can. Will you tell me why you put the number 666 out on every vehicle commercialized out of Jerusalem? Oh, he said, don't get disturbed. It's just accidental. I said, mister, why didn't you put 555 on there? I said, why didn't you put 777? That's the number of perfection. Why didn't you put the number of man and the number of the beast on there? And he stood there and trembled and couldn't tell me. I'll tell you why. They're getting people brainwashed, getting them ready for that time. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, the man that's going to be left behind is going to be tormented, my friend, by Satan's Superman. Let me give you one other thing. This is the worst thing of all. Sores are bad. Smell of blood's bad. Scorpions are bad. But that man that's going to be left, you listen, this is the worst of all. Revelation chapter 6, when you get home, read it. It said in the sixth seal was broken. Only the Lamb can break that seal. And he broke that seal. And when he breaks that seal, the Bible said there's a great earthquake. God's going to shake this place. There's some folks the other a couple of years ago that left California because they're afraid there's coming an earthquake. Listen, mister, there is coming one. My Bible said when that sixth seal is broken, there'll be a great earthquake. Now listen to what the book says. The Bible said in the sun shall turn black its sackcloth of hair. The Bible said the moon shall dip as it were blood. And the Bible said the stars shall fall out of their sockets. And the whole world will run and try to find a hiding place in the dunes and the rocks and the mountains. And it said the kings and the chief men and the mighty men and the free men and the bond men shall run and say, fall on us, stone mountain, hide us. And the mountain will say, who from? And they'll say, there's the faith. We see the face of the Lamb. They're going to be tormented by the sight of His face. I want to tell you something. There have been a lot of songs wrote about what you want to see when you get to heaven. You know what I want to see when I get to heaven? I want to kneel down and look on His face. The one that saved me by His grace. I'll reach over and hold His hand and say, let me look on that face again. Oh, the blessings of looking into the face of the Lamb that died will be the greatest blessing of heaven. I believe that rainbow will be around us. I believe that we'll see that river that flows out from the throne of God. And I believe, brother, listen to me, all about the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl and the street of gold. I believe it's pure gold. I don't care about that. I don't care about those walls, 12 beautiful walls. Boy, when I get there, I want to run down to where He is. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, what do you want to do? I want to kneel down and just look at the side of His face and say, thank you for what you did for me. Just to look on His face will be the greatest blessing that heaven will ever have. I want to tell you something. But you know what will be the greatest torment to that man? It's going to be left, the sight of that same face. You see, it'll be blessing to us, but it'll be torment to him. Amen. Oh, it'll be a blessing to the saint of God to look on His face. The sight of His face is going to be heaven. But to that man that misses the rapture, he'll run over here to Stone Mountain and say, my God, fall on me. Follow me and hide me from the face of that one. The sight of his face that sits upon the throne. I want to look at it because the great day of his wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? You say, preacher, what about that one? You know who's going to be left? That man's not saved. You know who's going to be the one taken? That man that is saved. Oh, you say, preacher, what's going to happen? They're going to be tormented during the time of the great tribulation. And they'll find no place to hide. And they'll run for the rocks and the mountains. They'll be the greatest prayer meeting of men that have ever gathered. And they'll pray to the rocks and the mountains. Follow us! And hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Now, to protect the innocent, I want to tell you something happened to me several years ago. In fact, sometime before that, my wife went to the first jail service she was ever with me. I was in Macon, Georgia, and we went to a jail service. And I went there and preached, and my wife, her heart was broken, and she cried. She said, I looked at those young people, I thought about my brother, and I thought about my children. I thought about kids. Somebody's mama's darling was in that jail. And I preached to those prisoners. But sometime later, many years later, I was preaching in Macon. And the preacher said to me, I want you to go with me tomorrow to the hospital. I said, all right. He said, no, it's not here in Macon. And I said, okay, where do you want me to go? He said, I want you to go with the Milledgeville. And I said, all right, I'll go with the Milledgeville. Now, you know what Milledgeville is. It's a place for those that have their minds twisted. It's a place of mental disorders, nervousness, conditions. Some of them don't even know they're in the world. Some of them, they have to feed them with a trough. They can't keep any clothes. They feed them through a trough and like a pig. They eat. Then nobody can bind them. It's pitiful. And on our way up to Milledgeville, the preacher told me the saddest story I ever heard. He said this young man was in the Korean War. But before he left down here out of Eastman, Georgia, his old mom and daddy would tell him, say, son, before you go off to service, now let me tell you something. Get ready, for Jesus is coming. And get ready. And if you're in the service and Jesus comes, we'll meet you there. And if you don't get back, son, Jesus will get us together when he comes. And he said, right, Mama, I'll get right one day. And he'd tell his daddy, I'll get right one day. And then he went off to service. And they sent him to Korea. And every letter that came to him read something like this, honey, Jesus is coming. And Mama's going and Daddy's going. And honey, you're not saved. You're going to be left behind. And he'd kind of push it aside and write another letter and not mention what they said. Every letter said. Then finally, they brought him in and said, you're going to be sent back. And your time's about up. Said, we've got your record here. You want to reenlist and stay over here? He said, no. I want to go home. I want to get to Mama and Daddy. I want to get where people pray. I want to get where folks go to church. I want to get there where I can see that little church house again. And so he wrote his mother and dad and said, now, I'm going to a certain place in California, and then I'm going to a place where I'll be dismissed out of the service, and I'll be home at a certain day. But things progressed faster than he thought they'd progress. And they dismissed him out of the service, and he came home early. And the mother and dad packed their suitcases and went down to Florida for a few days and is coming back on the day he was to come and meet him at the train station. But when the train pulled up early, they wasn't there. And when he went home, he went up on the porch and said, Mama! Daddy, I'm home! I came home, and they didn't answer him. And he went into the house, and he looked everywhere, and there wasn't anybody there. And he went into the bedroom, and he saw where they'd packed their clothes. He should have known something, but he didn't. He said, they're not here. And then it struck him, all those letters. Honey, we want you to be saved, because Jesus is coming after us. And we want you to go up. And he fell down and started screaming, and his mind clicked. And he went insane. And the preacher said, when we get to Milledgeville, they'll take us back in a special cell. And that man walks the floor, and I said, all he'll say to you, they went off and left me, Jesus came. They went off and left me, Jesus came. They didn't wait on me. They went with Jesus, and I wasn't ready. Oh, they went with Jesus, and I wasn't ready. Boy, I went up to that cell, and I took my red Bible, and I opened that book, and I said, young man, you hear me something, because you're getting old, ain't you? I said, listen to me, I want to tell you something. I'm a preacher. And a doctor standing there, intern, said, mister, there's been 100 preachers to him, telling him the same thing you're going to tell him.